Dave.
Father, I thank you for this man. Thank you for all that he is and the stature that you've grown within him. Lord, I want to thank you so much for how you've been speaking into his life over these last few months particularly, and for the inspiration already that has been. And Lord, I just want to pray your anointing on him afresh this morning, just that he would know real freedom to bring out everything you've put inside of him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Andy. Well, good morning, everybody. Matthew, you're doing a great job so far.
She's doing a great job.
So far. Such a good meeting leader. Andy, you guys did great as well. So today is Ascension Sunday, and as a church, we are kind of acknowledging that. I think over the years as River, we haven't really been good at the kind of joining in with the global church calendar, but today we're going to do our best. Ascension Sunday is Ascension Day is 39 days after Easter, and is not to be confused with the WWF wrestling team called the Ascension, which I found out on Wikipedia. It's also not it's not to be confused with Ascension Island, which is on the South Pacific, population, you know, around 800 or 900 people.
Did you
Google Ascension Day? I did. John Calvin, who I'm not known for quoting, has said about Ascension Day that Ascension is a lullaby for fearful hearts. Ascension is a lullaby for fearful hearts, i.e., guys, Jesus is on the throne. Let's not worry. Isn't that a nice thought? In Mark 16... Jesus says, it goes like this. After the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and was seated at the right hand of God. Now, I was kind of trying to imagine the scene, and it's kind of difficult to get your head around. Like, the whole thing is kind of bonkers. If you just imagine, you know, you're just outside and then just someone just starts rising up, you know, does it like a load of dry ice arrive around Jesus' feet, and then he starts to go up. Is there some kind of invisible cord? Like, you know, the whole thing is just mystical. And, you know, does he kind of go out of sight, you know, like a balloon, kind of, and he goes until you can't see it? Or does he kind of get kind of a certain distance into the sky and then just start to become kind of translucent and then kind of disappear into, you know, the kingdom, the heavenly realm? Like, the more you kind of think about it, the more it really, really kind of messes with your head. You think, this is extraordinary. This is a tremendously supernatural event. In the book of Acts, it says that he was covered by a cloud and then disappeared. But it is jam-packed, even though it's very difficult to get your head around the logistics of it all. It's jam-packed with theological richness, which I'm just going to briefly draw out at the beginning and then kind of talk about some practicalities for us. Just before I kind of talk about some of the theological implications, I just think it's kind of fitting for Jesus to leave in a very mystical way, because that's how he entered. He's entered in a similar way to the way he arrived. You know, if you think about the way that Jesus came into the world, you know, if you think beforehand, what was it like? You know, I kind of picture the Father, you know, angels, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Trinity. And they, you know, they must have had some kind of goodbye ceremony, you know, like a conversation between Jesus and the Father. You know, are you ready for this? Yeah, I'm ready for this. You know, I'm not going to leave or forsake you, you know. It's going to be great. And then somehow, mystically, Jesus enters a womb. You know, it's bonkers. But then, as was shared at Jan's funeral, talking about, you know, the beautiful poem about how when a boat goes out of sight, the people on the shore can no longer see it, but the people on the other shore can start to see the arrival of it. I kind of think it was a bit like that, you know. there was a goodbye in heaven when Jesus arrived on the earth. When Jesus left the earth, there was a big welcome. You know, he arrives in heaven somehow, and I just think there must have been this huge welcoming party. Nice thoughts. So quickly, some of the theological kind of just things which I think of when I think about the ascension. Firstly, you know, it's a huge statement that heaven is real. If you're going to kind of sell a carpet, or if you know a carpet cleaner, you know, and you see those Hoover adverts, you know, you go, okay, well, look at this, you know, look at this carpet. I'm going to spill soot all over it. I'm going to put some oil on it. I'm going to do whatever. And you just, you know, you show like kind of the different things that the Hoover can achieve. It's like, it's the ultimate selling. You know, Jesus, the whole time, his message has been the kingdom of heaven at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me demonstrate it to you, like through miracles, through peace coming, through this and that and that. And again, the Hoover of the kingdom of heaven is, you know, it's demonstrating its realness. And at the very end, it's the ultimate demonstration to the disciples. They see it with his own eyes. The final, like, ultimate proof, heaven's real. The book of Mark has, like, this beautiful kind of bookends to it, which are, like, really intentional. Right at the beginning, when Jesus is baptized, it says the heavens were torn open and the Holy Spirit comes in like a dove. At the end, the curtain temple is torn in two, releasing the presence of God. And there's this kind of theme of heaven being opened. And I kind of think about when, you know, like in the winter, if you go into your house and the first thing you've got to do is shut the door. You know, shut the door behind you. Don't let the heat out. My mum used to go crazy. Shut the door, shut that window. I'm not paying to heat the street. At the ascension, Jesus, he opens the door, enters, and he doesn't close it behind him. He leaves the door wide open. And heaven, the heat, keeps pouring out. And that's what we celebrate next week, Pentecost. He opens the door, goes through, just leaves it open. And ascension is it's an encouragement to the mystics, especially. It's encouraging to all of us, but especially for the mystics amongst us. You know, we see the theme through the New Testament, you are citizens of heaven, you are seated in heavenly places. In Revelation, John say, come up here. And in the Old Testament, you get people having visions of heaven, people just engaging in the heavenlies, and it's another one of those things, guys, heaven's real. Lastly, it's a statement about just the blurring of the boundaries. Not only has heaven invaded earth, but earth is invading heaven. The Son of Man is in heaven. And we're going to follow. The boundaries are blurred. The Venn diagram is getting closer. Okay. So last week, I shared some thoughts around lukewarm and how it's easy to become a follower of Jesus, which is a radical, wholehearted thing to do. But actually, it's really easy just to become, you know, lukewarm. And that seemed to resonate. I got my first ever standing ovation from a few of the keen ones amongst you, yourselves. And I just kind of want to follow on from that this week. And I was just thinking about, you know, lukewarm. Why do we end up lukewarm? And I thought, actually, it can easily just be just because we're knackered. Just because we're weary. And if you're feeling weary, if you're just feeling a bit battered and a bit knackered at the moment, would you just kind of be bold and just put your hand up? And thank you. Yeah, it's totally okay. It's totally okay. It's part of life. But I want to talk into that this morning. I want to talk into that weariness. I want to talk into that tiredness. And I think there's some kind of this thing around ascension which can inspire us. Patrick sent me an email on Monday when I was thinking, oh, what should I talk about? And it was Isaiah 40, verse 31. And Tim, can we get off up on the screen? Some of you might know it, some of you might not. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who, I want to say wait, my translation says wait. Those who hope, those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar, they will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. I just want to kind of unpack just the kind of the first half of that. I think it's what God's saying to us as a church. It might be some lukewarmness, but actually maybe that comes from a tiredness. What's the answer? The answer is actually, let's wait on the Lord. So I think there are two kinds of waiting. One kind is my safari experience of waiting. When I was in India, I had a very miserable 3 days on safari looking for this blooming tiger. Have you been there? I was thoroughly depressed. I don't think they exist either. So I went on safari for 3 days, and according to the guy who was also staying at the same place as I was staying, they're everywhere. Every time we got back from this flipping safari, did you see the tigers? Did you see the tigers? No, we did not see flipping tigers. All we saw was a few monkeys and a few peacocks, which you can see for free wandering down the street. When you're on safari, you're looking intently the whole time. It's completely random as to whether or not you're going to see this prize tiger. That's one kind of waiting. It's just, you're completely powerless. The other kind of waiting, I would say, is like waiting for your Sainsbury's delivery shop, which is awesome. Who here uses Sainsbury's or Ocado delivery? I absolutely love getting my food delivery. And it is just, those guys are like clockwork. I just wait and I think, okay, within my time slot, it is going to be there. And every single time, it is there. It's a very different experience. It's not random. You know what's coming. I think there are two kinds of waiting on the Lord. And I think as Christians, it's important that we know that when we wait on God, we're not in safari mode. We don't have the religion which is, oh, is God going to come to me today or not? Actually, Jesus is really, really clear about it. All who seek me find me. He's our Father. He doesn't play games with us. He's a Sainsbury's delivery God. Oh, God. We turn to him and he runs to us. He's the deliverer, yeah. Yes. But there is a need to wait. There is a need to wait. Most of us, pretty much all of us, will drive our cars every day. And when they need a service, when we've crashed them, or when they're just a bit worn out or whatever, we can't fix it while we continue driving. There's only one solution, is we need to take it into the shop. And we wait. And I think as human beings, I want to say it's exactly the same. When we're knackered, when we're a bit worn out, it's easy to think, right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Actually, what we need to do is we need to stop and we need to wait. I shared last week about how I was in, you know, pretty desperate faith place in my faith, you know, 9 months ago. And one of the things that I've had to do, just discipline, and I've done it pretty much every day, is just... And I'm like a hardcore activist. I love just doing stuff. I love getting involved in stuff. I'm like, go, go, go. I've had to just diary into my day. I need at least 1 hour of just waiting with God. Sometimes we just need to prioritize that. But there's waiting and there's resting. And then there's waiting and resting on God. And as someone who is a hardcore activist, I'm like, I'm a believer in work hard, play hard. And so in my downtime, I'm like the king of the hobby. I love hobbies so much. I love running, I love cycling, I love rock climbing, I like, you know, you name it, I'll just get involved. I love it. And I think there's something, you know, just really great about just resting well. But one of the things I've had to learn is that actually that is really important, but it's not resting necessarily with God. We wait and we rest, but there's a place for pushing in to God and God alone. And I can meet God on my bike, I can meet God on my running or whatever, but there's a space, just you and him. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Hands up if you're one of those fixing people. Like you can, people who like fixing things. Is anyone good at here at fixing things? Respect. I personally am not one of those fixing people. I am awful at fixing things. I get very frustrated. I get very confused. I'm not patient enough. I'm like, why doesn't this thing go together? And Chloe's like, oh, you need to turn it, Dave? The one thing I have got into, though, is sewing. I love sewing. I know. I got into it when I was like traveling. And when you know, Chloe and I have kids, like I'm going to be like, Mr., I'm going to sew your name into your... I love it. It's so... forget that. I'm sewing them in. I'm sewing those bad boys in. There's something great about fixing things. I think there's something really godly about fixing things. We live in a kind of a throwaway society, and there's something just so wholesome about it. God is the great fixer. He loves it. He is a skilled fixer. Just to get to take kind of the car mechanic analogy kind of one step further, he's not just someone who you know, you take the car into a service and he's going to get it back up and running again. He is like the skilled craftsman that you take a classic car that's completely past its heyday. It is battered, it is rusty, it is just a mere shell of its former self, and he will see the value in it. He will see the beauty of what it can become. And he is a skilled craftsman that can restore that thing to just pristine working order. If you're feeling battered, if you're feeling like you need a service, if you're feeling like, actually, I don't just need a service, I'm just a mere shell of my former self. I'm rusty, I'm just, you know, I can't even remember when I was on the road properly. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. God is our great fixer. He's a skilled craftsman. And he sees the value in each one of us. Those who wait on the Lord will renew your strength, will renew our strength. If your strength is gone in this season, do not lose heart. He will renew, he will make new our strength. And they will fly high on eagle's wings. Has anybody been paragliding? Has anyone ever tried? Hands up if you've tried paragliding. Wonderful. What was it like? Wonderful. What was good about it? You felt unworldly. It's a very peaceful experience, isn't it? It's not scary. You think it's going to be scary beforehand, but it's not. I did it in the French Alps when I was like 20 or something. And you get like this, you know, you start running and you get this like parachute thing up and the slope is going down. You think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to die. And you run and you run and you run. And then suddenly, you're just soaring. And it's just so peaceful. It's so graceful. It's so mellow. And for some kind of unknown reason, well, you do know, we do know the answer, you go up and you think you should go down. But you can rise and you can soar on these invisible forces, which are actually thermals. But there's a grace to it. There's an effortlessness to it. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I believe that as we do that, we connect with heavenly thermals, invisible supernatural forces that work in our hearts and our minds and our souls and enable us to ascend and to rise above our fears, our stresses, and our anxieties, our insecurities, our pain. It's like, it's just invisible, but there's a grace to it when we're soaring. And something happens within us. Maybe it's kind of within us, an internal working, courage comes, or love comes, or peace comes, or grace comes, or kindness comes. But something rises within us. You know, I shared last week about how I was just nowhere in my faith, and that I almost resigned because of it, because I thought, you know, as a church leader, I need to be inspired in my faith, but I don't know how to fix myself. I felt like I had spiritual repetitive strain injury. I was like a mess internally. And 9 months on, you know, last week, I just kept bursting into tears throughout the week because of the joy of what God's done in my heart. I'd be walking down the high street and I'd just start crying. I'd be in the car and I'd just start crying because I just felt a love and a compassion and just a kindness that had become kind of part of who I am. And I was just so grateful for it, for what God has done in it, done in me. And I just started thinking about God. I start crying. And I'm nobody. But if God can do that in me, he can do it in all of us. So this Sunday, I'd like the ascension of Jesus to be a kind of a just something, a picture for us, to inspire us to go, you know what? I can rise up. God wants me to rise up. And the way we do that is we just push into him. And I'm going to start sending out some spiritual exercises that people can sign up and start doing daily. If anybody wants to have a one-on-one time with me and just chat about how you're doing in your faith and what could things look like going forwards, then, you know, I would love to do that. And lastly, I'm this week going to send out the Reveal survey, which is just a survey for us as a church to fill out. You know, how are we doing in our walk with God? And, you know, we can use that kind of data just to go, okay, you know, where are we going? What choices? What strategic kind of things do we want to put in place? I'd like to just kind of pray last week's prayer again. It's an ancient prayer written by Saint Ignatius. Lord Jesus, help me to know you, to love you, to follow you. Help alleviate my fears and fan the embers of trust within me. Give me the strength to say yes to your invitations, the courage to continue my journey with you. Remind me that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And apart from you, there is no life. But with you, and with you alone, is fullness of life. Life everlasting. You know, this morning in the worship, I was just sitting there and I had my eyes closed and I got this sense of Jesus just kind of just walking up and down, and he just put his hand just on different people just in the room, and it was such a kind, just kind of, you know, sometimes you just can put a hand on someone's shoulder and it's just like an affirmation, and, you know, your words don't even need to be said. And I just felt like Jesus just wanting to do that, just loving hand of just affirmation. And if you're just feeling just really, really knackered, really weary at the moment, a bit battered, a bit beaten up, I'd really encourage you just to stand. And I'd like just to pray and kind of get our just friends and family around, different ones of us, just to pray just for fresh grace. Just for fresh grace for you in this season. Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. But actually, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on the eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Fresh grace for your strength to be renewed. So if that's you, I'd just like you to respond now. I just want to invite Jesus to come. I'd like people who are nearby, maybe just one or two people, just to put a hand just on their shoulder, and for that to be kind of a sign of the hand of Jesus, the loving affirmation. As you feel that hand, I want you to imagine the hand, the loving hand of Jesus. Hands of Jesus on your shoulders. Your shalom would come right now. Rest upon and within each one of my friends here in this room. I pray for fresh grace, for strength to meet you with them, to rise up with them.
I saw a storm blowing in from the north. Lightning flashed from a huge cloud and lit up the whole sky with a dazzling brightness, and the fiery centre of the cloud was as shiny as polished metal, and And in that centre I saw what looked like four living creatures, and they were somewhat like humans, except that each one had four faces and four wings. And their legs were straight, but their feet looked like the hooves of calves and sparkled like bronze. And under each of their wings, these creatures had human hand. And the four creatures were standing back to back with the tips of their wings touching, and they moved together in every direction without turning their bodies. And each creature had the face of a human in front, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of a bull on the left, and the face of an eagle at the back. And two wings of each creature were spread out and touched the wings of the creatures on either side, and the other two wings of each creature folded against its body. And wherever the four living creatures went, they moved together without turning their bodies, because each creature faced straight ahead. And the creatures were glowing like hot coals, and I saw something like a flaming torch moving back and forth among them, and lightning flashed up from the torch every time its flame blazed up, and the creatures themselves moved as quickly as sparks jumping from a fire. I then noticed that on the ground beside each of the four living creatures was a wheel, shining like chrysolite, and each wheel was exactly the same and had a second wheel that cut through the middle of it, and so they could move in any direction without turning. And the rims of the wheels were large and had eyes all the way around them, and the creatures controlled where and when the wheels moved, and the wheels went wherever the four creatures went and stopped wherever they stopped. And even when the creatures flew in the air, the wheels were beside them. And above the living creatures, I saw something that was sparkling like ice, and it reminded me of a dome. And each creature had two of its wings stretched out towards the creatures on either side, and the other two wings folded against its body. And whenever the creatures flew, their wings roared like an ocean or a large army or even the voice of God All-Powerful. And whenever the creatures stopped, they folded their wings against their bodies. And when the creatures stopped flapping their wings, I heard a sound coming from above the dome, and I saw then what looked like a throne made of sapphire. And sitting on the throne was a figure in the shape of a human. And from the waist up, it was glowing like metal in a hot furnace. And from the waist down, it looked like the flames of a fire. And the figure was surrounded by a bright light as colourful as a rainbow that appears after a storm. And I realised I was seeing the brightness of the Lord's glory. So I bowed with my face to the ground. And then I heard the Lord speaking to me. That the door is open, that you have ascended and you have left the door open, and that vision of heaven is there for us to see and to feel and to grasp. We can see the brightness of your glory.
Spirit and truth, only you.